Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thursday, September 24, 2009, Rajiv Eskana for immigration.com. This is a community conference call which is being recorded. If you folks do not wish your voice to be recorded, please hang up now. I suggest you keep your identities confidential because this call is an open call. It will be recorded and people will be listening to it. With that said, let me also add that just by answering your questions here, we have not assumed an attorney-client relationship. Unless we sign a contract in writing, we do not agree to represent you, and you are not bound to be represented by us in any way. I've looked at the questions today. I think I should be able to do them in about 40, 45 minutes. So we may have 10, 15 minutes left for the calls. But I could be wrong about the assessment. I mean, that's what it appears to me. Sometimes we have a lot many more questions. Today is one of the lighter, most of the questions are yes and no questions. So let's go with the first question from GC is Fun Pain. They had tried to port from EB3 to EB2. They said USCIS cannot grant it because ex-employer revoked my older approved I-140. I am confused. The way I read the law, and I have never seen anything in writing from USCIS to the contrary, even if your I-140 is revoked, you should be able to port your priority date over. Okay? I'm not sure why it is not being done. I would certainly escalate this matter. I would take it to my congressman's office. And this is one of those cases where you might even want to consider a lawsuit because the issue of law is so simple. It is merely a question of interpretation of one particular provision of law. My suggestion would be to take it to a congressman, and if it doesn't get resolved, to go ahead and take it to court. I am not advising lawsuits in most cases, but this is one of those cases where it's a good idea. That was the question, what should we do? Next question is Kishore KRD. Kishore says, parents are here, I-94 is valid till 10th January. Becoming a U.S. citizen in November. As soon as I become a citizen, I can apply for them. Can she stay here even after 10th January? In other words, can she stay here illegally while I wait for my citizenship to be done? And the answer is you can. But I have always, well, let me tell you the law, first of all. For immediate relatives, the law is that even if the relative has been living here in unlawful presence for many, many months or years, they can get their green card within USA as long as they don't travel outside USA while the green card is pending. Okay? But I hate to do things in that way. Personally, what I do for our own cases is, if somebody comes to us with this sort of situation, I just apply for an extension of a visitor visa. And I tell INS that, look, I'm becoming a U.S. citizen, and I intend to apply for her green card. I don't want her to be out of status. Okay? Chances of you getting that approval are very, very small. But at least while she's awaiting the result of INS's decision, which could be anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 months from January, you know, apply close to 10th January for an extension of D visa. And so by the time they get back with you, it doesn't really matter. You would have been ready to file a green card application anyway. And that's the way I would handle it. Make full disclosures, apply for an extension of D visa, and the idea is not so much to get the B visa. They might even approve it. But the idea is not to be out of status, not to be unlawful. I mean, that's just my suggestion. Next question is Naveen 256 H1 renewal. I got my initial H1, and this is a whole lot of dates here. I'm not quite sure what date is what, and you know, there's too many dates. Here's the bottom line. Let's say you've got a year and a half left on your H1, and you've got an I-140 approved, and you're entitled to a 3-year H1 extension. So you could, in my view, this is my opinion, you could combine recapture, time remaining on your original H-1 as well as extension based upon I-140 approval all in one case. INS should approve it. But remember, the law is they cannot give you more than 3 years at one time. So let's say you've got 1 year and 3 months left on your original H-1. 3 months of recapture time. So 1 year plus 3 months plus 3 months. You've got 1 year, 6 months coming from that. You could apply for a 3 year extension, in my opinion, based upon the I-140 being approved. So technically, you're entitled to 4 years and 6 months, but they won't give you 4 years and 6 months. They'll give you 3 years. Next time, you can get another 3 years. Okay? So that's the way it would work. You'll get another 3 years next time if your I-140 is still, it's approved and your 485 is, it's the priority dates are still backed up. Okay? Next question is, hello, 22. I lost my job. Now, Rajdeep, I am pretty sure that I've talked with you. Because I think you sent me an email about this, and I'm pretty sure I told you that I will not charge you for a consultation since you don't have a job right now, and I went over your options and I told you what to do. I am pretty sure, because the language of your posting is the same as the language of your email to me. So, or maybe you had posted it on immigration.com and I told you to contact and, have Les make an appointment for you. I think that's what happened. You had posted on immigration.com. So your case should have been taken care of. I'm pretty sure that we've done this. Next question is EAD and, this was from Hello22. Next question is from Rajdeep Singh. Apologies. So the Hello22 issue I've already done. He had a consultation with me. Rajdeep Singhan, EAD and AP application. They want to know, should I apply for my EAD and AP myself? Well, I don't think you need a lawyer for these applications, frankly. And, you could do it yourself. You will not be able to do as good a job as your lawyer, but, as long as you're not depending upon it for something pivotal, you could take a chance and you can do these applications yourself. How much do we charge for an EAD in our firm? It's definitely not going to be less than $200. I mean, I think we charge a lot more. The way it works is, in our firm, we don't charge for repeated applications of EAD and advanced parole. Whatever we charge is all included in our fixed fee. Okay? So, I would not recommend you hiring us for something like this because, like I said, it's going to be definitely a lot more than $200. So, no, you don't want to do it through us. Do it yourself or let your lawyer do it. And you could also do this. You could have your lawyer do one or two applications that are critical for you, and the rest you could do yourself. That way you'll have a copy of what they have done. You can just basically use the same principle. Okay? Next question is T84. I'm new in this forum community. You are a DV lottery person. I don't know very much about DV lotteries because we don't get involved with these cases. Simple reason is, in the beginning, I did one or two DV cases, I think almost 8, 9, 10 years ago. But then I realized you don't really need a lawyer for these cases. So we backed off and we refused to accept these cases. I have not kept up with the law. But in general, you want to go study while your green card has been obtained. I'm assuming that's what you're saying, that your green card is in hand, but you cannot stay in USA because you're finishing up school. You are well advised you should do your I-131 reentry permit. Okay, now I'm not sure if there is some special law applicable to DV people, but generally for all green card people, if they are going to be outside USA, I highly recommend having an I-131/reentry permit in hand. Okay, that's what I advise, and that should be okay. My apologies, because I really don't know much about DVs beyond this. Kabaka 71, that's Ellie, applied for citizenship, did not report a traffic ticket I had in December 2007. It was dismissed because I requested to have a court date and the officer did not come. Do you think I have to mention this one to the inspection officer? I think you should. You should, and you should take a copy of the court disposition that basically the case was thrown out. It is, I don't think it's going to be a major issue. I don't think it's the end of the world. You can always let them know that, you know, you had a conversation with a lawyer and they advise you to disclose it anyway. You didn't, you know, it was not a, I don't think it's a deal-breaking issue. You should be fine. Okay. As long as you're not deliberately trying to conceal a material fact, you should not have a problem with your citizenship application. Because if the question is asked, why did you not do this earlier? Why did you not disclose it? And, you know, if your answer is, look, I didn't even know this was relevant because this case got thrown out, and this was not really an arrest. So, you know, so is this even something I should report? And the answer is probably not, and it should not be a problem. But if your answer is, well, I was trying to conceal it so that, you know, I could get my citizenship without any problem, that could become an issue. It is obvious to me that you wanted to reveal it. You didn't even know it was relevant. So now that you know, I don't think it's relevant in many ways. I don't remember the exact question on the form N-400, but I prefer, when in doubt, I prefer more disclosure than less. So using that principle, go ahead and disclose it. I don't think it's going to become a problem. Next question is Ziomar. There was a thread on GC Backdate which has been archived. We applied for U.S. citizen through a spouse who is a U.S. citizen for adjustment of status. After 2 years of name checks, was re-interviewed. Is it possible to get some sort of back date or adjustment to data citizenship application eligibility that can be done? Well, I do not believe there is any law that helps you do that, no matter how long you had to wait for your green card. Until the 485 is actually approved, your time for citizenship does not begin to run. You can take this up with your congressman's office. It will be impossible, pretty much, to get a retroactive approval. But you can go ahead and talk to your congressman's office. At least somebody will become aware of these issues. And if enough people are aware of these issues on the Hill, they might do something to provide some relief to you folks. But I don't know of anything that you can do to have an earlier approval date. Rahima says, my husband is overseas. I am expecting to be naturalized soon. Does my husband have to apply for a green card while physically in the U.S., or can he apply and get it processed in a consulate? You can go it either way. If he's in USA on a legal status, he can apply for his green card here, or he can do it outside USA. If you apply for his green card and then process him for a K-1 visa, I believe it's called, K-1 or K-3, no, K-3 is fiancé, I think, K-1 visa. You apply for his K-1 visa, which is for citizens, spouses of U.S. citizens, he should be with you in a few months, and then you can apply for his adjustment of status. So what you will do is read the instructions on Form I-1, I think it's Form I-129, for K-1 also. Read the instructions on INS website for K-1. Something is not clear, you can always, you know, one or two brief questions, I have no problem. You can post on immigration.com in the relevant area. We'll be happy to answer them for you. So apply I-130, then apply K-1 right away, and basically he should be with you within a few months. And then once he's here, you can apply for his adjustment of status. Okay? L-1234. Okay, L-1234. I am not H-1B visa, and visa is valid up to September 2011. Okay, that's confusing. I don't know what that means. Okay, here is what I think happened. You have an H-1 approval and visa valid till September 2011. But you got I-94 upon your last entry till December 2009 only because your passport was expiring. Now you want to get an extension of the I-94. How can you do it? Well, you can try going by air to Mexico or Canada. If you go by land, it will be difficult. Surrender your I-94 on the flight, and when you come back in, ask for a new I-94. You can also contact CBP. I don't think they will extend your I-94 within USA, but you can ask. And the third option is, of course, to apply for an H-1 extension to USCIS, like filing a new case. W_73 says he's looked at the new revamped INS website, and the status says they have sent him some paperwork back in 2007, and he's never received any documents. Well, you should immediately contact customer service. And if it doesn't get resolved through customer service, contact your congressman. Obviously, you never received whatever they sent you. Or maybe even that status update is a mistake. Who knows? Next question is labor category EB3 or EB2. I have a bachelor's in electronics degree and post 14 years experience. The company requires only bachelor's plus 2. Well, for an EB2, the company must offer you a job which requires bachelor's plus 5 years of progressively responsible post-bachelor's experience. Okay? If they don't do that, you cannot file for EB2. I hope that's clear, Manu. Next question is rogue. This is a physician who filed for 2 green cards, one through national interest waiver and one through PERN. Okay, so they want to know under which category did their green card get approved. I think the only source that can tell you that is either your InfoPass appointment. So take an InfoPass appointment, go downtown, ask them that question, or try first from customer service. They should be able to give you that answer. By the way, you should also read my entry on my blog about how long do I have to stay at the same job after my PERM application is approved. You might be surprised by the answer. Okay? His questions are, do the most recently filed I-140 automatically form the basis of I-485? No. No. Usually your 485 is approved based upon the I-140 approval, which was already attached to the 485. Okay. You have to read my blog about how long do I have to stay with this employer. And I told you about the rest. Next question is on VAVA, somebody who's an abused spouse. My apologies again, very limited experience with VAVA. My specialization or my focus of practice is really in business and professional immigration. Whatever VAVA cases we do, we read up the law when we do them. We do them as a community service in most cases. Because when VAVA people come to us, typically they can't afford to pay legal fees. So whatever we do as a community service. So I don't remember exactly what the VAVA situation is. Apologies. Next question, but there's plenty of information. You can just call the customer service as well as double check what they tell you online. There's plenty of information available on VAVA. Next question is, Fabi won the visa lottery, ready to apply for citizenship. I might be asked for last 5 years of tax returns. I have only 4. Should I wait till 2010? Fabi, as far as tax returns are concerned, if you did not work in 1 year, that should not be a problem, unless DV has some specific stipulation that says you've got to work every year you are here. I don't think there is such thing. Okay, so I don't see why that should be a problem. But I'm not a DV expert. You can check with somebody who does DVs. I've never looked at the law on DVs, so I don't know what the answer is. As far as naturalization generally is concerned, it should not be an issue. If you haven't worked, you haven't worked. Pinto Bean says, my husband will be eligible to apply for citizenship in May 2010. I am on an employment-based 485. I'm going to have a baby. I got another baby on the way. I want to stay at home. Well, first of all, you cannot apply for adjustment of status until he actually takes the oath. So after he files in May 2010, approximately 6 to 12 months later, he will be sworn in. That's when he can apply for you. Okay. You want to stay home for the next couple of years. You do have an employment-based 485 pending, right? Yeah, you do. You do. The way it works is, I'm not sure how much of a risk that is, because you remember, under AC 21, if your employment-based 485 is pending, and you intend to, you know, maybe file an AC-21 letter sometime in the future, there is no requirement of the law that you've got to have a job all through the time that you're on 45. Let me give you an example. Like in your case, you got your 45 pending for over 180 days. I-140 is approved. Now you want to stay at home for the next 1 year or 2 years. Unless INS sends you an RFC that requests specifically provide us an employment letter, you can stay at home and not work at all. Okay? Because the green card job is a future job. The only time things get messy is if the employer revokes your I-140. And then INS will send you a notice of intent to deny, saying that it has come to our attention that your I-140 is revoked. So if you want to do AC-21, provide a letter from the future employer. Okay? So if you were to stay home, that's the worst case scenario you are facing. As I had advised somebody else about their mother's case, the spouses of U.S. citizens are not barred from getting a green card just because they have unlawful presence in USA, as long as they have not traveled outside USA since becoming unlawful. I don't recommend taking that route. I think having a future AC-21 letter is the better route to go. Ultimately, you are going to start working. So if you just submit a letter for a similar job to INS, you could very well stay at home and not work, I guess, for the next couple of years. Okay? Good luck. Next question is Alina97, who has two misdemeanors and it's over 5 years old. What are my chances for citizenship? Well, that's hard to say. Remember, it depends upon the type of misdemeanor. What happens is when you have any conviction, any time during your life in the United States, USCIS can raise that as an issue, even if it is beyond 5 years. They normally don't, but they can. Okay? And then you have to provide evidence that, you know, you are a good person, you had no problems with the law, etc., etc. Okay? So, what are your chances? Impossible for me to predict. I don't know what is the nature of your misdemeanors. But if there has been no problem and you are a person who can prove that you've never had any issues and you're a respected member of the community, a churchgoer, or, you know, a socially active person, hold a job, maybe that should be enough. It's hard for me to say. The only thing I would want you to consult on is that make sure that you're not deportable and that, you know, so that your green card doesn't become a problem. Okay? I suggest you discuss this with a lawyer locally where you are. You want to develop a relationship with somebody locally because they might end up going with you for citizenship application as well if there is a problem. See, most cases, like, because we handle cases in all 50 states, but where it involves actual travel to INS, we always advise people to get a local lawyer, unless the local lawyers, you know, are either, for some reason, you're not satisfied with them, or there's an issue of competence and knowledge. If that is the case, you can hire anyone anywhere. But I prefer that you hire somebody locally, especially if you're living in a big city. There should be good, competent immigration lawyers wherever you are. Okay? Next question, Arharan. How should I continue my GC after AC-21? Right now, I'm working on working full-time on EAD, applied for AC-21. Now I'm thinking of going back to India to take care of my parents, possibly for a couple of years. Is there any way I can continue my current green card? Well, you can continue your green card process. A couple of things you got to keep in mind. One, you cannot stay outside beyond the life of your advanced parole or H-1. You've got to have an answer to the question, if raised, that here is an employer who says they've got a job open for you. Okay? If they've got a job open for you, how can they wait for you 2 years and not have that job filled? Now, there could be scenarios, for example, if you are remotely doing the job from India, or if they've got 3-4 other people taking your burden while they wait for you in the future. That becomes an issue. Okay? And if you don't want to maintain your advance parole, you can convert your process to consular processing. And again, the issue would be there's no AC21 available there, as far as I know. The issue then would be, can you explain to consulates that here's an employer who's offering you a green card job and then they are waiting for you for 2 years to join that job? How is that possible? So that's the only issue. Okay? Help Me 2009 says, my father got employment based green card in 2005. I am 22 years old. We all got, you know, green card at the same time. I want to go to Europe. Next week I'm leaving for studies. I've completed 4.5 years of time on my GC. Well, first thing you need to remember is if you want to apply for your citizenship, you have to maintain your permanent home in the United States. Number two, none of your visits outside can be more than 6 months. Let me rephrase that, more than 1 year. If it's more than 6 months, less than 1 year, there's got to be a good explanation. Okay. I am concerned that because of this unique situation, they could make an issue of it during citizenship. However, legally, what you are thinking seems okay, that you're taking 3-4 trips back home every time, and you will try to make a duration outside of less than 6 months. You applied for a re-entry permit, but remember, a re-entry permit does not cover the citizenship issue. No visit abroad should be more than 1 year. If it is more than 1 year, your citizenship is in trouble. If it is less than 1 year, more than 6 months, there's got to be a good explanation. If it is less than 6 months, they will still look at where your permanent home is. If your permanent home is, in fact, still in USA and you've just gone there for a diploma or education, you can certainly make that argument to them. Now, AR-11, I don't think you need to file an AR-11 if you are outside USA. Okay? Double check it. I'm always concerned about, I'm a very conservative practitioner. Whenever I'm not 100% sure about something, I always ask people to double check the law. Double check it, I'm pretty sure there should be no problem with AR-11. Okay? You can apply for N-400 as long as you have physical presence of 2.5 years at least on the date you apply, and none of your stay abroad has been more than 1 year. And I-131 should not have an impact on N-400. Okay. The next question is, Suvarni. I have a pending case. Guys, I'm coming to the end of this. We are done in almost half an hour. So we'll open it to questions from people who have posted their questions as soon as I'm done with the last couple of questions left. Okay. So coming to Suvarni says, I have pending 45K supplied in EB3, trying to upgrade it to EB2. Okay, and TSC is giving no reply. I'm not even sure if it is upgraded or not. I went to InfoPass, but they say my case is under review. From October 1st, EB2 dates are current. Can I add my spouse on my case? Yes, you should. You should add her, and you should add a letter to INS explaining that this is what you've done. Attach copies of your I-140s and your communication with INS on this issue. Okay. So, yeah, go ahead. I don't see any problem with that. I mean, they might return your filing, but what you can do is make sure that the filing contains some kind of a note on a bright sheet that says, don't open in the mail room, take to the supervisor, this is a case of transfer of priority date, something like that. Okay? Because in the mail room, they won't understand the legal issue. I-140 EAD issues. Okay, this is an interesting situation. Husband wants to use his priority date to apply to his wife's I-140. You can't do that. His wife's I-140 45 is pending. He has an earlier I-140 date. He wants to know if he can transfer that, and the answer is no. You cannot take advantage of your as far as I know, there's the reason I stopped there for a second is I was thinking you can't transfer the priority date, but what if you were to tell INS, look, my green card is pending as a dependent of my spouse, but I want to use my own I-140 on that 485. I'm pretty sure it can't be done. It cannot be done, but that's something you can look into. Okay? You can try asking INS if you can use your I-140 instead of being a dependent on the pending 485 that you have. Okay? And then at the same time, she can become your derivative. I mean, something like that probably could be done. But you have an EB-3 I-140 and you don't probably want that. Okay? So, in other words, I don't know of any options that you have. You cannot use your priority date to advance your wife's case. That's not the way it works. If she has two approved I-140s, of course, those dates are transferable. But your date cannot be transferred. I don't know of any other options that you have, except for maybe converting your case to EB-2 if it is possible. Okay? All right, folks, very good. It's excellent that we are already done with the questions. Unfortunately, there were two or three questions there on DV that I could not answer, at least not to the extent that I normally do. So let's open the questions for anybody who has either a follow-up or a question on what we've been discussing. Just 1 second. Press *6 to ask a question, please. *6.
Raju, this is Alpes, AL1234.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need a Mexico visa to get the renewal of I-94 car?
In order to travel to Mexico, whether or not you need a visa, you need to contact the Mexican authorities about that. I think you do. Both Canada and Mexico require visas for you to enter them. But that's the issue of Canadian and Mexican law, not of U.S. law.
Okay.
One thing you need to keep in mind is,
yeah,
Alpesh, that when you go by road, when the trip is less than 30 days, they don't take your I-94. But even going by road, I know people who have made a special request that, look, we want a new I-94 on our way back, please take I-94. They have been able to get that done. Okay. When you travel from USA to Mexico or Canada, even by road, you might be able to request. And what you can do is, before you even go, you can call CBP. They're actually pretty good about responding to questions. All the information may not be accurate.
Right.
But you can certainly ask them. There's no harm in doing that.
And if I travel to that, what the documents I need to be have?
The documents you need to have is to re-enter USA is your passport, your approval notice, passport approval notice, and that should be it.
Okay, thank you, Raju.
Hi, Raju, this is the first question. I asked the first question about the portability. GC is fun pain.
Yeah, this is the one where the I-140 was. Denied or revoked? I'm sorry,
no,
it's denied.
Yeah, that's what I talked to the lawyer, and they received the comment from the USA saying that the I-140 was revoked by my previous employer, and that's the reason they cannot grant the priority date. They use the term as revoked.
Yeah, revoked. The term revoked is different than denied. If it was denied, because I for some reason in my head it was revoked.
No, yeah, my employer revoked it.
Yeah. Because you did use that word revoked in there. It says, they cannot grant it because my ex-employer revoked my older approved I-140.
Right.
See, revocation of the I-140 should not be a problem. Hang on 1 second. This is what happened. You have two I-140s, right?
Yeah, my past employer had approved I-140. I moved to a new employer. They applied for I-140. That was also got cleared, but they didn't put the priority date.
Did you request them to put the priority date?
Yeah, we requested. And we sent back again twice. They returned it back, basically.
Okay. One thing I'll tell you, the way I've read these regulations several times. The way I read them, they should still give you the old priority date.
Right.
Should not affect the priority date.
Yeah, even my lawyer is convinced on that, and basically they have the CSR are not listening
to
them.
Go to Congress first, and if they don't do it, just file a lawsuit.
And before that, they tried to open an ALA inquiry,
mm-hmm.
and it took for them 1 year to get a response saying that the file has been moved to the USCIS officer for review, and they will get back to us. And so what do you suggest? We are going to follow up on 15th of next month with ALA if they don't get back to us.
Yeah,
and
I think lawsuit is the way to go.
So how about we didn't try congressman yet.
Congressman, you can try because that's just a couple of days. They can get you an answer in a couple of days. But after you've done ELA, then do congressman. That doesn't work. File a lawsuit.
Okay. All right. Would you mind if I ask one more question for my mother?
Go ahead. It's okay.
Yeah. Actually, she came to. She's traveling from India, and she had a return ticket on 14th of February next year. But the officer found out that the passport was expiring on 31st of January. So they gave her a stay up to 13th of January, basically. So do you suggest her going back on the correct date, or we just...
Here's what you should do. You see, the Indian consulate here should be able to extend her passport.
Okay.
Okay. Ask them if they can do that.
Okay.
And like in Washington, D.C., the last time we checked, they were doing it overnight almost.
Okay.
So ask if the passport can be extended. If the passport can be extended, just, once the passport is extended, just file for an extension.
Okay. What I have read is if they deny it, then she loses her visa also, right? Whatever is pending.
No, but if she doesn't stay beyond January 10th, she doesn't lose anything. It's early enough that if you apply for, right now we're in September, so September, October, November, December, January, we have a good 5 months. Normally, they will not allow you to file, again, read the instructions on 5I-39. The law used to be, as I remember, no earlier than 60 days before the expiration, no later than 30 days before the expiration. You can apply for a tourist visa extension. So you can also call customer service how early you can apply. If you can apply as early as 6 months ahead, which is right now, you can try and see what they have to say. And she will not lose her visa if she continues to stay here while the extension request is pending, as long as she does not continue to stay beyond the extension requested date. For example, let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you have requested extension till April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You filed the case in December. If she leaves in April, the visa is not automatically canceled. But if she continues to stay beyond April, and then the tourist visa is denied, she would lose her visa.
Okay, what if they deny that USCIS doesn't give the extension that we ask for, like for 1 month, because the ticket is on 14th of February?
Yeah, that's okay. If they don't give her till 14th of February, that's not okay. See, first of all, the extension would have to be filed early enough so that you know for sure. Then you'll have to prepone the ticket. She can't stay here illegally, of course.
Okay, I don't mind her going back because, I mean, she herself is saying that don't get into that hassle, I can go back early. I just have to prepone the ticket, basically.
And just prepone the ticket if it's as simple as that. But you could do what I had suggested also, if you want to keep her here for a few more days.
All right, I'll do consultation with the parents then. All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Rajiv.
Help me 2009.
Help me 2009.
Rajiv, sir.
Help me 2009. Let me see.
Yeah, hi Rajiv, this is Hello 2009. Sorry, I don't have a post there. I'm the new user.
Sir, hang on 1 second.
Yes, sir.
I can only talk to one person at a time. Help me 2009 is who I'm talking to.
This is Help Me 2009, Rajiv, sir.
Okay, I am talking to you, sir.
Yeah.
I have read your question.
Yeah, okay, Rajiv, I'm a new user. I don't have a phone on the run track yet.
Sir, you are talking without listening to me. Please don't get into that habit. I am talking to Help Me 2009. If you are not Help Me 2009, please stay quiet. I'll get to you.
Sir, this is Help Me 2009.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, actually, thanks for taking up the question. And I have one or two more simple questions.
Sure,
you said, maintain the residence here. When I am gone, actually, currently I am living with my parents, so there is nothing like that.
For students, that's typically the way it is, and I don't think that should become a major issue. But do not be surprised if they deny your naturalization application, because they don't like cases where people are living somewhere else, they're supposed to be living here. However, the thing that is going in your favor is that you already lived here over 4 years. Okay, without going outside USA for an extended period of time. And this is for education purposes. Obviously, you want to come back to USA. I think chances are good that you'll get your naturalization as long as you follow certain simple rules. Try to come within 6 months every time.
That would be
correct. And like, but I will maintain my bank accounts and credit card accounts and those things, so they are kind of good proof that I am maintaining residency and that kind of thing.
Yes, anything, driver's license, etc.
Right.
Anything that
driver
you are going to come back to USA. If I may ask, what kind of diploma are you going for?
This is for basically higher studies in medical.
In medicine, okay.
Medicine.
Yeah, especially if you can show, you know, that this is the reason I'm going for it and I can't do it within USA, you should be okay.
Yeah, basically after coming back, I have to do all residency and everything here only.
Okay, all right. You should be all right. I think your citizenship should go through.
And what is your recommendation? Should I apply right after coming back or wait for 3 months or 6 months kind of thing so that, like, all these trips are at least some not like...
When do you become eligible to file? 1950
I am...
50 or when does that come?
No, currently, like, I will be eligible in next 3 months based on the...
And when are you leaving? When are you leaving?
I'll be going next week only.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the kind of...
I think you should apply on any trip that you are back here.
But the only problem would be like summer break, I will be here for 2 to 3 months.
You should apply any trip that you come back, just apply.
But I would not be able to attend to the interview and maybe fingerprinting those.
You can try to get that postponed, letting them know what the reason is. Normally, they are pretty cooperative about that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You can try to get those things postponed, and if necessary, involve your congressman's office.
And do you have to surrender 131 if you apply?
No, not at all.
So you can continue. Because I have just taken that as a safety measure, like.
Yeah,
so
that's the right thing to do. That's what I would want you to do. That's the right thing to do.
Okay. And... that is like 3 months, suppose like you said, like within 6 months try to be here, even if trip is for 15 days or 20 days, that will still
even
maintain.
Even if it's for a week, I don't care.
You don't care. Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for all
your
help,
good luck.
Guidance. Thank
you're welcome. Good luck.
Hey, Rajiv.
Next question, folks, please.
Naveen 256.
Naveen 256. 1 second.
Number 4.
256. H1 renewal. Change company more than 1 year. Oh, yeah, you asked for the 3 year extension. Yeah, go ahead.
My original H1 was dated 123.04, and the 6 year runs out 123.10.
Okay.
In the current company, they've given me H1 to 531.10. Is that an error? I don't know what has been reached.
If they go beyond what you're supposed to be getting, is that what happens?
Yes.
Okay. They often make mistakes like that. Okay?
Okay.
The way you should behave is very simple. Don't take advantage of their mistakes. You do your own calculation. Apply as you feel is necessary. 6 months ahead of the expiration according to you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, according to you, when does your H1 expire? 6 years.
123.10.
January 23.10. So what I would want you to do is, I would want you to apply for an extension maybe, and this could sound a little silly, but maybe December. Okay? The reason is this. If you apply in October or September or November, they could say you are applying more than 6 months ahead of time. Many times don't even look at the case and send it back.
Okay.
Because your status is filing going to them on May 31st. They won't even look at your case. Okay?
Okay.
But if you apply in December, that's within 6 months of May 31st, the mistaken date.
Right.
Okay? So there's no way they're going to send the case back. Once they open the case and start looking at it, they'll realize their mistake, and they should be able to give you 3 years from that date. Okay? So applying about...
But I will be able to... I'm sorry.
December or November end will be a good way to go. Maybe December will be back. December 1st or 2nd.
So I will be able to work on the receipt notice?
Yes.
Even though
so
I don't get
240 approval. Days, automatic extension. Grace period.
Okay.
If you want to if you want to be even more comfortable, apply premium processing.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I had. I mean, I've been out just for about 5 weeks, so I think only that much can be recaptured.
Yeah, see, I think you can combine all of these things in one. You know, I've got, you know, so this much time left on my original H1, this much on recapture, and, you know, this much should come from 3 years I'm entitled to because of my I-140 approval.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks, Raju.
Good luck, Naveen. Next person, folks.
Thank you.
Raju, this is August 2003. The last question.
Last question. Hang on 1 second. Transferring spouses, I-140. Yes, go ahead, please.
This is the wife to the August 2003. Now, I have a question. Like, my 114 EB2 category is currently in appeal because it got denied due to the education reason. Mm-hmm. And just because my PD is August 2000, March 2005 EB2, they might happen to touch my case because they have been adjusting currently and they moved my 485 also along with my 114 appeals. Now, my 140 in the, like, my 140 and 485 both are in appeals. And simultaneously, my 114 EB3 category, my lawyer had filed, which is currently going on. My question is, my husband is on EAD through this case, and now if they cancel my 485, then his EAD and AP and everything will be canceled. So is there any way I can convert my 114 EB3 category to premium processing and then just can have it attached with, I mean, how does the priority takes precedence? Do I have to interfile my 140?
Excuse, ma'am. I'm not sure I'll be able to help you in this much time that we have. I need a lot more facts. Let me try. I'll give you 2 minutes. Let me try if I can understand what is going on.
Okay.
Your EB2 appeal is pending.
Yes.
The EB2 appeal is the appeal in which your 485 was filed.
Exactly.
So both I-140 and 485 are currently with administrative appeals here.
Yes.
Now, your husband has an EAD based upon that 485?
Yes.
I don't think he can be using that EAD even now.
Okay.
My opinion, that if that I-140 is denied, that EAD is gone. That is the conservative view. There are people who take a very aggressive view and say, well, until the appeal is dismissed, or until you send me something in writing that says you cannot use your EAD and your 485 is denied, I'll continue using it. I think that's a very risky approach to take. So he should not use his EAD even now.
Okay. What about the another 114 EB3 category that I have, which is pending, and it's on the same level?
Your priority date current.
Pardon me?
For the EB3, is your priority date current?
No, if they reject my, let's consider that they are not considering my March 2005 EB2 140, then if I have the EB3 category ready, which is on the same label, my priority date would be March 2005 EB3 if they consider that 140 and attach it to my underlying.
Too much description. My question was very simple. Is your EB3 I-140 current or not?
No.
Okay. Just that's all I needed from you. Not the whole story. Okay. If your EB3 I-140 is not current, then you cannot file a second 485. Right?
Not second 485, but the 485, can we attach that to the existing 485?
No, because the way INS looks at it, and I could be wrong, you can have your lawyers look at that, but the way I read the law and the way I read what INS has been saying is this. You can interfile until we deny the I-140.
Okay.
Once you've denied the I-140, that 485 is gone. You cannot interfile. However, if you win the appeal and the 485 is revived again, then you can interfile again.
Okay, but the 140 and 485 weren't filed concurrently. Like 140 went into
matter.
The...
Okay. It shouldn't matter. You attached it to a ship that sank.
Okay.
Once the ship is sunk, it's gone. That 45 is gone with it. There's nothing to interfile.
Okay.
Let me move on to other people.
The 485 hasn't been denied as yet, but still it cannot be used, right? We have to
in
wait until...
In my view, that 485 has been denied automatically. Once the I-140 is gone, so is the 45.
Okay. All right.
Good luck to you. Next question, folks.
Hi, Raju. This is Hello 2009.
Hello.
And, I don't have a post...
That's all right. We have time. You have to ask me. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, my priority date is January 2003.
Okay.
And I-485 and 140 was filed in August 2003, and 140 was approved in June 2004. Okay. But I haven't received a green card so far yet, and still that is pending. I've been to local INS offices few times, and there are no RFPs, anything. And they said that they're waiting for the quota. And after, the people after 6 months or 1 year, they got the green card.
Is your trial current right now?
Sorry?
Is your priority date current right now?
No, Rajesh.
Okay, you see, until the priority date becomes current, you cannot be issued a green card. Okay? However, under INS's stated policy, they are trying to pre-adjudicate applications, which means they are trying to, even if the priority date is not current, they are trying to make sure that everything is in order. If they need to send you an RFE, they do. So the question is, has your case been pre-adjudicated or not? If not, why not? Okay? So what you can do is, you can't get your green card, but at least can you get your pre-adjudication done? That's a good question to ask INS. What you should do is, contact your congressman's office.
Okay?
Tell them, look, I know that I can't get a green card until my priority date is current, but INS is supposed to be pre-adjudicating all the cases. Why is my case not pre-adjudicated? Okay? Let's find out what they have to say about it.
Okay, so, is there any law, because it's almost 7 years.
There is no law on how long anything can take. I mean, if the priority date is not current and you did not get your green card, there's nothing you can do about it. That's the law. Okay?
But if
there is pre-adjudication, while you may not have a concrete right, but that's what they are doing for everybody. So why are they not doing it for you?
Okay. So I need to contact the congressman.
Congressman, and just say, look, I understand that I'm not supposed to get my green card until my PD is current. But forget that. I understand that USCIS is doing pre-adjudication for everybody. Is my case pre-adjudicated or not?
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay.
And anybody else, folks?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir. Anybody else? Oh, good. We are done today 8 minutes early. That's quite a record. All right, folks. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate your time. Always fun talking. Bye-bye.